Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to today's Caffeine for the Soul. And today we're going to be talking about what it is to live a low-pressure, high-performance lifestyle. And I've been spending a lot of time over the last 6 months or so thinking about pressure, that feeling of having to get on and do something, having to achieve something, lest some gradually closing in on you monster reaches up out of the darkness and eats you alive. And I've always felt it. I've always felt varying degrees of pressure, at least in my work, the pressure to perform at my best, the pressure to keep going, the pressure to deliver at higher and higher levels of quality as a result. And it's funny because you really can find pressure anywhere. You can feel pressure in any situation. I remember my first West End show. So in London, the West End is the equivalent of Broadway. And I was a young up-and-coming actor, and I was about to open in my first West End show. And everyone felt a lot of stress and pressure at the beginning, and that, in my mind, made sense because, well, it's new and we don't know how it'll go, so of course we feel pressure. But what I found fascinating was some of the more seasoned actors felt more pressure once the show was a hit and as we got deeper into the run. And I didn't understand that. And they said, well, you know, when we were just starting out, there was no pressure because, you know, we were just starting out. Nobody had any expectations. But now people come to the theater expecting us to be funny and expecting it to be great. And that's much more pressure. And even though I didn't really understand it at the time, I found it kind of fascinating because I realized that I'd made up that it was natural to feel pressure at the beginning, but not later. They'd made up that it was natural to feel pressure once you were successful, but not before, which kind of implied that we were both making it up. And that's really the thing about pressure, is it's made up. It's like we create a looming monster and then run from it, thinking that somehow, well, the fact that we're running is progress. Now, who or what the monster that's looming behind us is, it can vary. So sometimes for some of us, it takes on the form of poverty or bankruptcy. And sometimes it's argument or divorce. And other times it's just a vague sense of something bad will happen if you don't do whatever it is you think you're supposed to do in the time frame and at the level you think you're supposed to be able to do it. But they all have that voice, right? Pressure always has that kind of, ooh, something bad's going to happen voice. And for me, I think what's begun to really change my relationship with pressure isn't that, oh, I feel so much of it. It's that I'd noticed over the last 6 months I was feeling less of it than ever. I was kind of worried that I wasn't worried enough. I started to kind of put pressure on myself to feel pressure. And the thing is, when it does show up now, I kind of am at a loss as to how I ever performed at all with it. I'm not used to it anymore. So you know the story about a frog in a boiling pot that if you turn up the temperature slowly, it'll stay in there until it boils to death. I've been told that isn't actually true, but most people know the metaphor. Well, for me, those moments where I feel pressure now, it feels a bit like I imagine it would for a frog who's wandering by the boiling pot and looking at all the frogs boiling to death in there and going, well, maybe there's something out. Maybe it's a hot tub. And he jumps in and then goes, this is terrible, and jumps back out and can't understand why those frogs would want to be in that pot. Well, when you start experiencing high performance without pressure, when pressure does come up, when you feel that in you, it's distressing. It's like, what the heck? So now what's interesting to me is that while I've been feeling less pressure than ever before, my life is as filled with activity as ever. So when I first wrote about this whole idea, I'd been 9 consecutive days teaching. So I'd done 4 events in the space of just over a week. And I'd spoken to about 500 different people, and I was prepping some filming that I was going to be doing on what turned out to be the 5th and 6th video projects that I'd done of the year. And then I was planning my trip to Dubai and Kuwait that's coming up to do more training and speaking. So it wasn't, oh, well, I'm not feeling any pressure because I'm not doing anything. It was just that I'm doing a lot, and I can do a lot because it all feels fairly low key. I'm not unhealthy. I'm not having to do stuff to stave off stress and to kind of recover particularly. And here's the thing. I can't tell you one magic game-changing insight that I had that led to me experiencing more of a low-pressure, even no-pressure, high-performance life. But But I want to share with you a couple of questions that I've been playing with, and I think you might find that they're certainly worthy of exploration. And the first one is just a question for yourself. Can you really get things done without the pressure to deliver? Now, for me, this question really came to a head this year because most of you know I've been writing books and editing books since the early 1990s. And one thing that I've sort of prided myself on is I've never missed a deadline. Now, I've never been early for a deadline either, but somehow, with seconds to spare, I've always delivered. And with my new book, Creating the Impossible, I not only missed the first deadline, I missed the second deadline. They had to move the publication date of the book twice, and I didn't know what to do. I felt this sense of embarrassment and shame. But the thing was, I hadn't felt all the pressure and panic building up to the deadlines that I used to. And so my first thought was, oh, I need that pressure in order to deliver. That here you go, proof, right? I'm not feeling the pressure, and I'm not delivering. But what I've seen is that it doesn't really work that way. When I couldn't pressure myself, threaten myself, cajole myself into writing any faster, when I missed all those deadlines, what happened was I saw that I'm just used to running on deadline pressure. That's just how I've learned to do things up until now. And this book was my first attempt at delivering a big project without it. And as a first attempt, to be honest, I'll give myself 6 out of 10. Right? On the downside, I did deliver late, but on the upside, the quality is high. I love the book, and I really think that it's going to do some good in the world when it comes out. And I'm confident that if I continue to write without using pressure as my motivation strategy, I'll continue to learn how to create without the pressure to perform. And that leads to the next question, which is, would you perform better or worse without the pressure to perform? Now, really think about that. Would you perform better or worse without the pressure to perform? And when I ask audiences this, they're split pretty 50-50 down the middle. There was a tennis tournament hosted by W. Timothy Galway, who was the author of the Inner Game series of books and sort of a pioneer in modern performance coaching. And he wanted to give people an experience of what it was like to play to learn, to play to play instead of always playing to win. So he set down an upside-down structure for a tennis tournament where the loser of each match would advance to the next round. And his theory was that by taking away the incentive and, by extension for a lot of players, the pressure to win, people would play with less on their mind. They'd play with more awareness of what was going on behind the scenes. And it didn't work for everybody. Some players just got befuddled by the whole idea, but a lot of players played the best they had ever played, or the best certainly that they played for years. When I do the Creating the Impossible program, and in the book, it's a similar premise. We set out to create something that would be amazing to see come into being, but we're pretty sure we're going to fail at it. That's kind of the point. Now, sometimes people say, well, no, that's not the point. That's pointless. That's counterproductive. As they work through the book, as they work through the program, they start to experience a level of freedom around creating, a level of creativity, a level of success that's surprisingly unfamiliar in their experience of goal setting and traditional go get 'em tiger and make things happen kind of performance. So both of these notions, the upside down tennis tournament, creating the impossible, they're artificial, but they're designed to give you an experience of performing without the pressure to perform. And the payoff comes when you realize that human beings never perform better when they're up in their heads obsessing about results. We never perform better when we're up in our heads worrying about consequences. We never perform better when we're thinking about anything that's outside of our direct control. So I actually wrote about it in Creating the Impossible, and here's how I wrote about it. There is no pressure pre-existent in the world or inherently present in any given situation. The only pressure we can ever feel is 100% generated via thought in our own mind. Pressure is just a thought that comes and goes of its own accord. So what are your thoughts about deadlines and pressure and performance? What would your life be like if you could give up pressuring yourself without giving up on your dreams? What would it be like to create without the pressure to perform? Have fun, learn heaps, happy exploring, and I'll talk with you soon.